This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of our MCSEs. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we are back with Bob, another Bob out there in Windsor Locks. And you still there, Bob?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we've got some links up here for you. And the research we've done, it could be the two issues could be related. You have an HP printer that's not working so well, and you're having this .NET framework issue. So we're going to put a couple.
My laptop is not getting the air. With the printer.
Ah, all right. Well, there goes. They're not related then.
Okay.
But it is. There is HP connectivity as far as the issues going on here. Is the PC that you have this issue with an HP?
Nope.
Ah. All right. We're 0-2. So we have multiple links to solve this issue.
Okay.
One's a cleanup utility, a .NET framework cleanup utility that we're going to post for you.
Okay.
It's a repair tool, and we think your framework is messed up. And you're going to run that repair tool, and hopefully it's going to solve this issue from popping up on you.
Okay.
We'll put that in air quotes as far as hopefully. On your printer issue, that's what we do with as geeks. You know, we don't know exactly what's going to solve the issue because there's so many variables. Well, try this.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to you guys for a long, long, long time. So.
Yeah, it's a shot in the dark. Well, it's not really the dark. It's a shot in the fog. So when it comes to your printer, we think you should update the driver, obviously. Have you done that lately?
No, I have not, but do I delete it or just install a driver over the top?
6½ dozen. You know, you can try the install over the top, but if you want to do it the right way or clean way, the way a geek would do it, you would remove the printer, shut the machine down, bring the machine up clean, download the latest driver before you remove it, and then implement the new driver. That would be a nice clean way to know you've got a current driver for that printer from the manufacturer, and that should solve your scanning issue.
Okay.
It should. Again, in air quotes.
Nothing's ever definite with this stuff.
Oh, it's not. I mean, who knows? I mean, you've got Classic Shell running on a Windows 10 configuration, and the printer is how old?
The printer's going to be 4 or 5 years old, too.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of variables.
Both computers are about 4 or 5 years old. In fact, my son had to replace. We both bought our laptops at the same time, and his is already dead. He had to buy a new one already.
Is the was the laptop an original Windows 10 or was it a Windows 7 upgrade?
No, it was I think it was 8.1 to 10.
Yeah. So your soup is a mess. This should solve the issue, but who knows? That's the problem with computers. You're not all dealing with the same premise. It's not like auto mechanics dealing with the same make or model of car. They're all the same, right?
Right.
We have no idea. Just too many variables.
Okay, so I go to the website and look for the cleanup utility.
You'll see the cleanup utility, and there's another article in there that you could check out to see if it might fit for you as far as the .NET framework that Bob found as well that might relate to your issue, but it's more for HP. And
I did a second one that just has to do with the .NET framework.
Okay,
right, the cleanup utility.
Okay, well, what's the second one going to be called on the site?
It's you can't miss it. It's again .NET framework keeps popping up. It's a Microsoft. It's an actual Microsoft article about this exact error 2.0.50727.8784.
All right. Okay.
All right, Bob. Good luck with that. Hopefully it works out for you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Hey, oh, both of you, I should say. Not just sir, both sirs.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, maybe we can get knighted and actually be sirs. Wouldn't that be neat? Sir Geeks. Ah, we're not British.
No, my family left the monarchy years ago.
Did they? Yeah. Let's go on to Lori in Deep River next. Hey, Lori.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Calling back about that Mac Lion. It's a version 10.7.5, and the video streaming. We did change to the VLC video program, which greatly improved it.
Yep.
But we're still getting a little bit of, and I don't know whether to call it a buffing issue or refresh, that it's still pausing at times. Nowhere near as frequently, but it's still pausing. And I'm wondering, where do I find the video playback? Is if he found it, it's somewhere in here. It was at normal.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, you could lower the playback. Your machine, you have an old Mac, right?
An old Mac, yep.
Yeah, your machine just may not be capable of delivering the video. You're the bikers, right? That take the
yep. We've got about 2,000 miles this year
already.
Already.
Man, it's chilly out there, Lori.
Heated grips, heated jacket. You just dress right.
Nice.
I mean, you ride
electric socks.
Well, no, good shoes.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I think your problem is that your Mac just isn't capable of reproducing the videos you're taking.
But it was fine for the longest time.
Yeah. That's part of our world here. But you've tried everything with QuickTime. It was with QuickTime that you had no problems.
It was QuickTime, right.
Yeah. And then they deprecated
it over to the VLC, which, again, it improved it significantly, but there's still times when it'll just
And you, if my memory serves me correctly, you had Frontier, correct?
Yeah, wonderful Frontier.
So it could be that your internet speed isn't as high as it could be.
No, this computer, this laptop is not hooked up to the internet.
I see. Okay.
So you're viewing it locally.
Locally, yes.
Yeah.
It's just not enough resources. Your video could be just could be high definition, too high definition, too much data for it to actually display it, and it's just choking on it.
Will it do it if you choose a lower resolution for playback?
Right.
Okay, so where can I go for that lower resolution?
We'd have to go into the VLC settings or do a Google search on a lowering resolution for that VLC software.
Okay.
We wouldn't know off the top of our heads.
Nope, that's okay.
But you're going to have disappointing resolution. So what I'd say, Lori, is that you need to upgrade your machine.
Yeah.
And don't get a Mac. You could buy 3 PCs for the price of a Mac.
For the price of it, I know. And for him, it's going to be a change away from the Apple.
Right.
Which is disappointing since we've been with them since...
Well, get the Apple then.
Yeah, little guy was a little guy back in the 80s.
They're not going to last forever.
No, they don't. They don't. All right.
You may have to just pull that trigger there and get a new one.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Sorry, Lori.
Thanks for the help on the resolution, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah. Bye-bye. That's the problem with technology, that you need enough technology. I mean, I do this every year. I do our vacation photos, and I use ProShow Gold, and I think it now output in 4K. Believe it or not, you can't tell the difference between 1080p and 4K, but you can output it in 4K. You need a machine that I can actually compile the video and process it, because it's a lot to process when you take, you know, 2,000 pictures and pump them into a system and put them out in 4K with music and transitions and all this stuff. You need the processing power, and that Apple that they're using is quite old.
That's the problem with buying a PC based on price.
Yeah.
Because when you buy it based on price, it may seem okay at first,
right,
but as you start doing things and then technology changes, it doesn't have enough power.
Right. And now we can tend to streaming too, right? If you're using just a little stick to stream your stuff and you're finding it's buffering, you got all this bandwidth, and of course the internet company says, you need more bandwidth. No, you need a machine that actually can process the stream. You know, you're not going to get a whole lot of processing power in a thing the size of a thumb. It needs to produce that video. And if you want high definition video, it's got to crunch that, download it, process, display it. And so it's from the entry point, which is your modem. Again, I've told you a million times, you can get plenty of bandwidth and do this plenty of high definition. I do 4K high definition with 50 megabits, but you need a machine that can actually display it. So you need a good router, good modem, and then, of course, whatever tool you're using, whether it's a Roku or I use TiVo, it needs to be able to process the video. A little thumbstick is probably not enough. $35, but it's not enough. So it may not be enough.
You're not going to be able to tow a mobile home on a trailer using a Beetle.
Exactly.
Not enough power.
There you go. That's a good analogy. So we're going to step out for a quick break. We got two lines open for you. Al and Martha, hang on. Two lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about, so you don't have to remember it, has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works. If you go to Facebook and you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it could get into your news feed. And if you follow us on Twitter, I don't even understand Twitter, but if you have time for Twitter, go over to Tab Computer Sys on Twitter, and it'll go to your Twitter feed as well. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Two lines open for you. Feel free to get online. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Al and Avon first. Morning, Al.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I was listening last week, and someone called in about Defender for antivirus, and you're saying that that's kind of not as good as it used to be, and you recommended, I guess, WebRoot?
Yes, sir.
Now, I used to have McAfee, and...
Mm-hmm.
That three-year subscription expired. I'm now running Malwarebytes Premium.
Okay, that's fine.
Which is a trial
for
14 days.
Okay.
It expires tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, I kind of like it, but it seems to be seamless because I did not shut off Defender.
It did Defender for you.
No, I just checked. Defender's still up and okay.
Well, then it's not running any antivirus.
Even though I got the premium says it is.
Defender has several components. Part of it is your firewall. There are other components to the Defender.
Mm-hmm.
But more than likely, the antivirus component of Defender is turned off.
That's true. Okay, yeah.
How do I find that? Because going on, it's just that I don't know if everything's going on. You follow me?
I do follow you.
Yeah.
Again, a paid protection is becoming more important than the free stuff from Microsoft.
Right. Oh, I understand all that. I just don't know if I'm getting what I think I'm getting.
Right.
Which all I see is a symbol saying it's going to expire tomorrow with a premium.
Right.
And I don't have any inclination that the premium is up and running.
It should be running in a little icon down in your system tray.
All right, I'm in my system tray now.
You're going to have an M down there, kind of a funny looking M, but
it looks like a bat kind of thing.
Okay.
And that's the
that's your Malwarebytes
platform, right?
So if you right click on it, you should be able to open it somewhere with a menu.
Right, that's what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, and it's got a big X on it. It says your premium trial ends in one day.
So you have a choice. You can sign up.
Right.
Or find something else. Or you can take it out of trial mode and just don't run it. And just run it as a remediation tool when you
Right, which it seems periodically every 6 months they throw a 14-day offer at you.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it an update.
And you can turn those off, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can choose Malwarebytes, but, you know, Defender, I think you should not rely on anymore. We used to recommend it as a good free antivirus in the past, but the Wild Wild West is getting worse and worse.
Yeah. One thing I also leave on, it seems to work seamlessly with it. It's an add-on. It's called the McAfee Web Advisor.
You get a lot of stuff from it.
Well, that kind of works as like similar to OpenDNS.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's exactly what it does.
Well, the problem that I had with McAfee is it tries to be all things to all people, and it typically uses, and Norton as well, uses a lot of system resources, so it kind of slows your system down.
Right.
And that's why.
Even SiteAdvisor, which is an add on to your browser.
Yeah.
Okay.
We would recommend using OpenDNS, which won't do anything to your system speed at all. Actually, it'll improve it.
All right.
Because you're just going through a different internet, literally, different
internet. You're not doing it as a process on your machine. It's doing it by using different DNS servers out on the web.
Right, externally.
Okay.
So,
well, I guess, you know, if you don't have any objections to the Malware Bytes Premium.
No.
Because it seems... It says I've got the exploit protection on, malware protection on, ransomware protection on.
Okay.
Even though I can't find it internally in my system that everything's up and running.
Well, it's saying it's on. So
yeah,
it's
right.
running. So that's where you would look for it.
So when you open the Malware Bytes console, you can see what's on. You can actually turn different components of it on and off.
Okay. If I get out of dashboard and go down to...
Well, the menu gets complicated, and they change it with all the different versions that they put out. So,
okay, I'll look around, but
within the application, it'll tell you what you're running.
Okay, let me check through that. Then.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all I need.
All right, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Good luck, Al.
Bye-bye.
But definitely worth having a professional antivirus these days. The free stuff is not worth it anymore. Let's go on to Martha in Mystic. Hey, Martha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I never miss your opening with those wonderful tidbits of information.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Sure.
I'm a senior citizen and not very computer literate, and I have my screen open, and I wonder if you'd walk me through what I need to do to Google Chrome.
Yeah. So in the upper right-hand corner of your Chrome browser, there's three little dots.
At the corner of my Chrome browser, there's three little dots.
Yeah, they're vertical dots. All
yes.
right. Click on that.
Yes.
And go to help.
Go down to help.
Yeah,
yes.
And then go to about.
About Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Got it.
And the moment it does that, it's going to either check and try to update your Chrome, or it's going to tell you there's a blue check mark and saying it's up to date. Is it trying to update it?
It says up to date with a blue check, yes.
You're good. You've already done
it. Okay, that was easier than I thought.
Yeah, gold star.
You guys are great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was easy, huh? Let's go on to Ray in Wallingford. Hey, Ray.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. I got hit with this virus.
Okay.
Of course, I'm too smart to use OpenDNS and other things, and I'm still using Defender. However, it's called the Andy Marvin virus.
Hmm, really?
Yeah, I tried Googling it, and I didn't get a whole lot on it.
How do you know you have the quote-unquote Andy Marvin virus? We're not seeing anything about it either.
Well, when I right-click on the files, and then I go to properties, instead of having, no, it's not even letting me do that. When I go over to the file, all white now, instead of being a yellow folder, and we go to properties, it says Andy Marvin.
What?
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. You guys get into the weirdest problems. I don't know what you're doing out there.
Thank you.
I'm trying to find out. Have you seen anything yet? I can't find anything on the Andy Marvin virus.
Just say he was an electronic engineer.
Yeah.
From the University of New York.
Are you pulling our legs, Ray?
No, I'm serious about this one.
Okay.
It's also that there's two other things that are associated with it. I'll spell them out. It's M-A-M-A.
Say, hang on, M-A-M-A?
Yeah, S-I-T-A-Q. And then the other one that is tagged in there within, and they all say Andy Marvin, the other one is C-O-C-K-I-S-T-A. I ran Malware Bytes last night, and it didn't do anything to help me out. And now, oddly, I can't even click into any of my files in my desktop.
What the heck? I mean, I should be able to find something on the internet here about this, and there's not a single...
I was able to get some things, but it didn't really give me... I think it was something generic that came up, like an ad to clean out all viruses or something. So, you guys, I didn't trust the internet.
Okay, so I did find it. My problem was I separated Andy and Marvin. When you put it together as one word, it comes up as ransomware.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that I got.
So you've been encrypted, my friend, unfortunately.
They don't understand that I'm broke.
Yeah.
Well,
All right, this is not good. So you are encrypted.
Well, let me also add, I do have a full backup
good.
On an external drive. Unfortunately, the drive was plugged in.
So that's encrypted too.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Probably. And nobody sent you any email saying they want some money?
Nope, not yet.
But clearly they don't know what they're doing.
You got some sort of a pop-up on your screen telling you what to do about it, right?
Nope.
No?
No, but all of his files are the Andy Marvin. Oh, it's horrible. Okay, so there are some sites here talking about it's extremely harmful, data encryption Trojan. But one of the most dangerous computer viruses. Now, I've never heard of this one, so I don't know if this is true or not. But now we got to find a reputable.
Well, you can remove it. It's a matter of unencrypting.
You've got a tool that'll decrypt it that's from a reputable source?
Me?
Yeah.
No, it's there.
Bleepy Computer talks about it.
Yeah, I've got a link to that.
Jeez. Where are you? So, Ray, now we're going to try to help you solve this issue, but you got to promise something. All right?
Open DNS.
Yeah, you got to load Open DNS and get a real antivirus tool. Because you went somewhere, or somebody on your computer went somewhere where they shouldn't have.
I do a lot of research on it, and it wouldn't surprise me if I did hit something.
Oh, yeah.
Cleared out of it and went to where I should have been.
Yeah, you should have gotten a warning saying your data's been ciphered. So we're going to try to find a link here for you as far as if there's a possible decryption tool. There may not be. You might just be, in bad shape. It's a family show, so I can't tell you exactly where you are. I think you know where you are. But let's see if we can find some decryption tools if they exist for you for this silly ransomware. Now, if you can hang on a second, Ray, over the break.
Sure.
All right. We'll see if we can find a solution for Ray. We're not going to hold our breath because his data was encrypted. But there might be a tool out there because some of these folks write really, really bad ransomware viruses.
Well, it says it leaves instructions on how to decrypt it.
Really?
Yes.
But they want money first, I would think.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, but I haven't read the whole thing yet.
All right. Well, we'll find a link there for Ray. Three lines open for you. We're here till 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're working on the Andy Marvin virus. And for Ray, which has been a lot of fun here. You there, Ray?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, there are sites out there talking about this ridiculous ransomware, but we haven't vetted them and can't trust them. So, we are not going to put a link up there for some of the stuff that we found because I don't want you to find yourself loading some tool that's actually just as malicious as what you've got, okay?
That's what I was afraid of,
still. Yeah. The hard drive, have you plugged it into a different computer to see if it's encrypted, your backup? Or have you disconnected it from your encrypted computer?
I have.
Good. So what you should do, well, you got to be careful, though, because if the virus is on the hard drive, it could spread to the next computer. But you need to know if your backup is encrypted or not, right? It's important. You could always bring it to a computer shop, warn them. Because we have computers in our shop that are just, ready to take the hit if they have to, take the bullet.
Right.
You would plug the hard drive into the computer, and maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe the Andy Marvin virus isn't that smart. I sadly do think, though, that it's probably encrypted.
Right.
We've got some links that we put up for some decryption tools that might decrypt this virus.
Okay.
You might get lucky there. However, if it decrypts it, that's only half the battle because you still have the virus. So you're always going to be like, well, geez, when am I going to be infected again? So you almost have to format your entire system anyways.
What you should do is decrypt it. Back up the data you want to keep.
To another hard drive. Your backup drive.
Right. Format and reload everything.
Right.
Right from scratch.
So it's a really bad day for you. But that's the nature of ransomware. And this, obviously, these guys are not doing a very good job of asking for money. And, even if you pay for the decryption key, half the time you're not going to get it anyways. Right. So obviously OpenDNS would have probably protected you from this. Having a good antivirus would have also probably protected you from this. And of course, the last resort of those two layers of security is your backup. But if it's connected to the machine, it's not going to save you. It's most likely, I would bet you that drive is encrypted.
Right.
So we don't have a lot of good news for you, but I think you should bring that drive to a shop. Warn them that you might have been hit with ransomware, the Andy Marvin virus. Tell them to put it, it's not two words, it's one word, and they'll understand what it is. Have them try to plug it into their machine that'll take a bullet and see if it's encrypted or not. If it's not, you win.
Got it.
If it is, you lose, and I would just tell you to format your system and start over from scratch.
Right.
Because you don't want to ever run that thing knowing it has a virus on it. You need to go format it.
You could put in a rootkit that'll reinstall the
virus.
Virus every time you clean it up.
It's awful.
Well, I was in the middle of getting ready to swap over computers anyway, but I was hopeful that I would just put the information from this drive onto a new drive and then throw it into the new machine.
Murphy always strikes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had taken that drive and disconnected it, you would have been like, I'm just going to punt this one. I'm going to do what the guys say and put my security in my new computer, and this will never happen to me again. But unfortunately.
Okay, Dad.
Sorry, Ray.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. I will check on the computer talk to Tim and then just take a look at the mix.
Yeah, maybe the decryption tool will work, but don't hold your breath.
Super. Thanks so much, guys.
You got it. All right, bye-bye. I don't know if we can have you guys let that be a lesson to you, but it is a big lesson. That's how fast it's, you're fine a second, you surf somewhere else, you're not. And if you don't have a good backup, you're in big trouble. And if your backup's connected to your system, it's going to be encrypted as well. It needs to be disconnected off-site, as it were. So you need multiple approaches. And the problem is we find plenty of businesses. I think I told you about the story. I went to this, when I go out and meet new clients, they've called us. They were a referral. Hey, we want to change IT companies. I go out and I'm sitting next to this dental office and look to the left with the dentist sitting right there in the office. And I'm like, oh, is that your server? Oh yeah, it's a server. The backup's connected with a little hard drive. I'm like, that's not a backup, sir. You get encrypted. That backup's encrypted. Oh, really? Well, we change it every once in a while. I guess you can be down losing weeks of data. Guys, this happens in the business world. You can't have a backup connected directly to the thing that's going to be encrypted because it will be encrypted too. Heck, we find clients whose PCs or systems are configured to back up to the server itself. And the guy's like, well, it's on a different hard drive. Are you kidding me? That's not a backup. Oh, geez. I digress. I'm sorry. I'm bringing the office to the show, and I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't bring it home. This is a light show. You don't have to hear all about all of our troubles out in the IT world, the stuff we see. Let's go on to Rick in Wallingford. Hey, Rick. Rick, you there?
Hold on, guys.
Yep.
I'm here. Hold on.
Yep.
Just get in my car, Rick.
Okay.
I'm at the Wallingford Town Recycling thing, and I got to get back in.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, listen, a couple questions. I'm in the process of getting another printer. We've got an old HP 6500A. I have issues with it off and on. The inkjet, the black inkjet wasn't working.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, and I took the cartridge thing out. There's all kinds of gook and that stuff. I've got to clean that up. There's still issues with it.
Right.
But anyways, I want to get a new printer because they're cheap enough right now. Sales on this HP 5255 for like $59 or something like that.
Hmm.
I noticed an Epson one this morning. It's got refillable cartridges. Are those worthy of anything?
I wouldn't recommend refilling cartridges because it can get messy. The nozzles wear out over time, and it spills ink in there. It gets everywhere, and it's more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, I would tell you to spend a little more money, Rick, and get a laser color printer. It'll save a lot of money in the long run. Yeah, you can get colored laser jet printers for just a couple $100. The toner's still expensive, but it's not going to gum up on you. It's going
to
be...
How long before you have to replace color on lasers?
Well, again, they're based on the number.
Depends on how much you print.
Yeah, I mean, I've got.
Yeah, we don't print. We don't print a lot at all, and it's.
You probably last you years.
If you print photos, you're going to go through lots of toner.
Yeah, but it'll probably last you years, Rick. And they won't gum up. They won't dry out. They'll last for years. They'll sit there for years without being used. So you won't have to worry about the gumming up issue of ink cartridges. And the cost per page is a lot lower, and the machine is only it's only a couple $100. You can find these lasers for really just a couple $100.
I put in a brand new printer the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It came with four brand new cartridges.
Mm, yeah, they're barely filled with ink, though.
No, well, it doesn't matter. But when I put them in, the printer said, "Oh, two of these four cartridges are empty." And you know, it had a little window so you could actually see the ink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was ink. But it just said they were empty because the little chip in there was saying it was that it was empty. So guess what?
Yeah.
Your brand new printer with four brand new cartridges, got to go out and buy cartridges.
Yeah, that should be illegal. I'm sure Blumenthal's working on that too.
yeah.
But
I'll check out the latest more then. And,
yeah, take
I need something to figure you can scan, copy, print. But I like a lot of these smaller inks now. You can fax with them too, where the lasers have the faxing ability.
Oh, yeah. You can find an exact laser that'll do all that too. And again, the laser, I think the cost per page is a lot lower. And you're not going to deal with anywhere near the amount of maintenance issues that you do with inkjet.
Yeah, because when you buy cartridges, you know, they're not cheap. You're going to drop $50-$60 pretty quickly on cartridges.
You are, but again, I think they last longer. I think it's long. I think it's in the long
pages, and the ink doesn't dry out. They don't have ink; it has toner.
Right,
so
it'll never
dry.
Yeah, it'll never dry out.
And is the print quality?
Oh, laser is much better than inkjet, I think.
Oh yeah, and well. Depending on the laser, but most of the time, if you get it wet, it doesn't run.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So when you're getting your work in the rain there.
Well, when you're sweating.
I'll go back home and do some more homework, look around, see what they've got for rain.
Yeah, at least consider it. Yeah.
Now, the lasers, HP, they're all about the same, or is one better than the other, you think? Or
I like HP, but you can look at others if you like. We have some clients that just love Brother, no matter what we do. They're not big fans
Canon,
of Brother.
Canon, Kyocera, I mean.
Yeah, there's tons of them. Epson. Whatever's in your ballpark there, we have settled on HP. I mean, there's a printer sitting in this studio that's been here for the 23 years that I've been on the air.
Oh, really?
And I'm looking right at it. It's an HP LaserJet 4, right, Bob?
LaserJet 5.
It's a 5, but it's been here at least that long.
But this is the horizontal one because they had a LaserJet 5 that was vertical, and it wouldn't take too long before the pages start multiple feeds.
It's connected with a big parallel Centronics connection. That thing's a beast, and these guys use it to print out their notes and stuff, and it's been printing for 20-plus years,
well,
I'm sure.
Well, back then, HP was making them like trucks so they'd last forever.
Yeah.
The problem is that the drivers didn't last forever.
Yeah. So I would consider HP. We still recommend it.
Check the desert. I'll look at their lasers today and
all right, Rick.
Pick something out then. All right, thanks so much.
Yep, you got it. All right, so Rick's at Wallingford Recycling, increasing the town's cost for recycling because now China's not taking his stuff back anymore. Let's go on to John in East Longmeadow. Hey, John.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey, you mentioned earlier about a Chrome.
Yes, vulnerability. Yep, update your Chrome.
I checked the desktop, and it's where it's supposed to be, but is it the same thing on my tablet, my Android tablet?
Yeah, update.
I checked it there, and it gives me a... It gives me a revision that it's up to, but it doesn't say anything about updating it. And it's I think the desktop was 72 something, and the Android says 70 point something or other.
Yep. The Android will tell you to update through its normal Google Play, so you should be fine and current with that automatically. That's more of a push update, you're fine there.
Oh, okay. That's all I wanted to know.
All right, sir.
Thank you, Jeff.
You got it, John. Bye bye. All right. We still have time here. Or should I take a break now, Matt? Yeah, take a quick break. Juan and Pamela, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. What a crazy day on Computer Talk, huh?
Oh, it's going by quickly.
Ransomware, man, though. That's not good. Let's get right to your calls. Pamela in Manchester. We do have a couple lines open before the top of the hour, so feel free to get online. And coming up at 11, Dr. Lessie will be in with Healthy Rounds, so he'll be giving you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. Like I said, just go to Pamela in Manchester. Are you there, Pamela?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I actually have two questions, but I don't know if you can get to both of them. But okay. One of them is about the BitLocker.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have BitLocker. I bought another computer, and I signed into BitLocker, and it says BitLocker is on.
Mm-hmm.
But before I used to have it where you had the password show up before you could see anything on the computer, and you would have to type it in. Now I can't do that. When I turn it in, I just get the regular Windows 10 where you type in your password to, you know, four-digit thing to unlock everything, but it doesn't have the where I can do a BitLocker password.
So somehow your BitLocker got disabled.
Hello?
Yes. Did you hear Bob? He thinks your BitLocker got disabled in some way, shape, or form.
That's what I thought, and I tried to turned it off, and then I reinstalled it or turned it back on, and so that didn't work. I suspended it, and then
Are you in front of your computer?
I am.
And you have Windows 10?
I have Windows 10.
Okay.
It's a laptop.
So if you click the little start menu and type in BitLocker, you should be able to open up the BitLocker app.
I'm actually in the screen right now. This is BitLocker Drive encryption thing. Is that where I would end up under systems and security?
So right in the middle of the screen, a little bit to the right, it should say turn on BitLocker or turn off BitLocker.
Let's see. It says BitLocker, Windows C BitLocker is on. Oh, it says turn off BitLocker.
So then it's on.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I can't. You know how we used to be able to type?
You're looking for that password when it boot up.
Right.
And it's not on if you're not getting that password, I think. But
group policy that you got to turn on, and I don't have it with me, the instructions for that.
A local group policy?
Yeah, there's a group policy there's basically two group policies we set up when we do them at TAB.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have them off the top of my head, and I don't have my little cheat sheet with me.
But we can probably find it for you and post it. But I'm looking through a whole forum here about this type of issue as to why it would go away. It says it's on, but you're not getting the password. I'm sure it's some silly little checkbox or some little, because obviously the point of it is you want to first have a password for the hardware, then the password for the software. That's what the BitLocker is all about.
Right.
But what happened? You might have clicked something on that allowed for some sort of, I don't know, commingling of your user password as far as connecting your Windows password with the BitLocker password, but that doesn't make any sense. We're trying to find some answers for you here, but we don't have them off the top of our head, Pamela, because it's not operating the way we had expect it to.
Okay.
But we can find some answers for you there. We may not find them instantly for you, but because it's a little more complicated.
Okay, I understand. Can I ask you my second question?
Yeah.
Okay, so I ended up getting Kaspersky? Kaspersky,
yeah. Yeah, that's the Russian antivirus. What you doing with that? You got a nice encrypted hard drive, and you're giving the Russians all your data.
I know. I'm obviously going to switch.
We're going to have to look into your Russian collusion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what I've noticed is now that I used to do, I just started doing online banking, and now I can't pay any bills. It will show the banking and everything, but when you go into it to pay the bills, it says like the Adobe Flash isn't working. It's not reading it.
Oh, brother.
With Mozilla.
Holy moly.
So, and I was like, what can I use, or is there something else that I should use to be able to actually go back to being able to do what I need to get all the stuff showing in Adobe?
Well, Adobe Flash has been deprecated again. That's not something you want to use. Oh, Bob found something. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Bob's got something on the BitLocker.
That's great.
Did you find something, Bob?
Yeah, it goes right through exactly what you need to do.
All right, so we found that. But back we're not going to be able to tell you because it's a big, long line of instructions. But back to your other question. So get rid of Kaspersky. You shouldn't be running Russian antivirus on your computer. I know it sounds funny, but it's true. You really shouldn't. But your Adobe Flash has been something that has been kind of dead. Anyways, you shouldn't even be using Adobe Flash. I'm surprised your bank would want you to use it or need you to use it to do bill pay. Have you gone to your bank site and it, most likely they have some instructions as to the recommended approaches to securing your computer to do online banking? Have you gone to check them out?
I actually went to the bank.
Oh, you went with your computer and said, make this work?
I didn't have my computer with me. He's like, it works fine on ours. You just need to update it. So,
Boy.
But
now bankers have to be geeks.
Yeah.
But it's not Kaspersky causing this issue.
It might be because I was using Mozilla.
Yes, it could be. They will probably want you to use IE, Internet Explorer, or some other browser like Chrome versus Mozilla. But back to the banking page, they should have an instruction page telling you what they prefer for you to do banking. A lot of them also offer a security tool that comes along with that. Go ahead, Bob.
I just found there's a fake Flash Player malware out there to steal your banking information.
Oh,
yeah. He's just trying to scare you.
Well, I'm scared.
Yeah. I think it's your browser. It could be your browser. It could be your antivirus. Definitely, it's not Adobe Flash because you shouldn't be using Flash at all to do your banking. That seems like old school. Don't bring up the bank's name, but I think you should go to their site and see what is required to do proper online banking.
Okay.
If you follow those steps, yeah, I suspect you'll have success.
Okay. So I get rid of
Kaspersky.
Whatever it is, I get rid of.
Yes, get rid of the Russian antivirus software.
And I should, you said I should also use Chrome instead of Mozilla?
Well, whatever your bank says to use to solve this issue. Mozilla's a great browser, but certain programs like banking transactions and financial firms settle on certain browsers. They can't make it work for all of them.
Okay.
And so if you try Google Chrome, maybe it'll just work by default if you tried it. Do you even have it on your computer?
I guess I would have to. I know I have that E on there.
Yeah, that's the little E for Internet Explorer. So you could always try it with that or go to Chrome, get the beach ball. If you Google, just Google anything, you'll find Chrome.
Okay. And so what would you recommend besides Capper? You said something earlier about
Webroot. Yeah, check out Webroot. That's what we recommend. It's a good antivirus tool.
So to uninstall Kaspersky,
yes.
Do I wait until I have Webroot put on before I uninstall?
No. Well, you download Webroot, get it ready, unload Kaspersky, and then load Webroot.
Okay.
All right, Pamela?
All right. Okay, and I'm assuming for BitLocker, you said it was on your...
Yep. The whole instructions are there for you to correct this.
Okay, because years ago I went and tried... I mean, well, not years
ago. We're out of time.
Some instructions. It didn't work.
Well, this time, hopefully it will, because we're out of time, Pamela. Right? If not,
have a great day.
Yeah, you too. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next.
See you next week.